Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast on the 30th of October, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined by Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news, including Purdue's College of Agriculture, attracting a lot of attention at the National FFA Convention last week, and taking a look at important ag programs that are on hold because we don't have a new farm bill yet. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them at ffbt.com to learn more. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here. He says very warm weather continues today before some Halloween rains tomorrow. And wheat strong, corn higher too yesterday. Arlen Suderman market analysis coming up on the HAT Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Planning for what's next at the FFA convention and trade programs halted. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. During last week's National FFA Convention in Indianapolis, FFA members had the chance to meet with representatives from more than 300 colleges and ag businesses. As CJ Miller reports, one of the universities that may have attracted the most attention throughout the event was Purdue.
So a lot of people think we're just farming or like crops, but then they realize we have so much more.
And that's Hannah Kramer, who's not only a wildlife major at Purdue, she's also a Purdue College of Ag ambassador. So when FFA members stopped by the Purdue booth at the National FFA Expo, Hannah was there to share why Purdue may be a good fit for them.
Definitely our biggest talking point is we are the number three College of Ag in the country and the number five College of Agriculture in the world. So with that title and that recognition, just naturally comes in a lot of connections. There are a lot of big companies that come in wanting to work with our students like Corteva, Caterpillar.
She adds that Purdue agriculture is more than just a college. It's a community.
We have about 3,000 undergrad students, so we still have that nice, close, tight-knit community as well. Students aren't falling between the cracks. A lot of our departments have pretty small student-to-faculty ratios as well, so you can easily find research connections with professors, easy to reach out to them if you're struggling in classes as well. So there's just so many reasons why Purdue goes above and beyond, specifically with their ag school.
And of all the quote-unquote ambassadors who represent Purdue University, she says one of the biggest ones this past year has been, you guessed it, former Purdue men's basketball star Zach Edey.
So I've actually had quite a few students coming up asking about Purdue basketball, asking about Zach Edey. A lot of people wondering if I've met him personally, which I have not. But I think it's really good because it's a nice talking point. It brings students into the booth. So I'm honestly grateful to our sports teams for bringing some attention to us because it lets us start those conversations. And then we can start to ask them about their interests and, again, help them realize majors they might not even known that we had.
Learn more about Purdue's College of Agriculture by visiting their website, ag.purdue.edu. I'm CJ Miller.
Many are still holding out hope for a new farm bill in the lame duck session. That might all depend on how the election turns out next week. With the September 30th expiration of the current farm bill, many important agriculture programs are on hold, including several trade promotion programs. Farm Bureau economist Betty Resnick.
Title III is often called the trade title and accounts for less than half a percentage of overall farm bill spending. Half of that goes to an aid program called Food for Peace, which uses U.S. commodities to do capacity building, and the other half goes to export market development. These export market development programs have major bang for their buck, and a 2022 study found that for every dollar spent on these programs, an additional $24.50 of agricultural exports resulted.
Resnick says the Title III programs promote a wide range of commodities.
These programs benefit all of agriculture. That's one of my favorite parts about them. Over 70 organizations representing different products were awarded grant funding in 2024. This hugely diverse mix ranges from big commodities like corn and soy to smaller ones like hops, ginseng, and cranberries.
Resnick explains that ag trade isn't just important to those of us in agriculture, it's essential to the overall economy.
About 20% of all U.S. ag production is exported overseas, and it's also $2 of domestic economic activity created for every dollar of ag export. So ag trade is important both for our sector and the economy at large.
For more information, visit fb.org/marketintel. You can find a link on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a very warm Wednesday for you. Strong southwest flow helping to bump temperatures up quite nicely. We see sunshine through most of the day. Clouds increasing overnight tonight into tomorrow. Halloween features a frontal boundary coming through, giving us anywhere from a quarter to probably 1 inch of moisture, 90% coverage across the Hoosier State. It's done by the time we get to sunset tomorrow night, and then Friday turns out sunny, a little bit cooler but pleasant, and Saturday is going to be sunny and dry as well. Sunday clouds increase quickly. We see hit and miss scattered showers by mid to late afternoon through the evening, and then that on-again, off-again moisture continues through Monday, through Tuesday, and through Wednesday. We are going to be looking at on-again, off-again moisture totaling probably over the three-and-a-half-day stretch, anywhere from a half to 2 inches of moisture. Yeah, it's going to be a significant round of precipitation. Not seeing exceptionally heavy amounts on any given day, but what we are seeing is small amounts adding up to a good round of precipitation. We get drier weather for next Thursday, the 7th, getting some sunshine in here, but cold air is diving southward over the Great Plains, and I think that cold air tries to move in here. Canadian high pressure takes control for Friday the 8th, and we stay cool but dry on through the 9th and 10th. The big story here in this 10-day window is going to be the moisture the first part of next week. We have not seen moisture like this since back in, well, either early July, or you might even go a bit earlier, go back into parts of late April and May. It's been a minute since we've had moisture come through on multiple days like this. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Not quite a turnaround Tuesday in the ag markets. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Market Review. And I'll have settlements from Tuesday trade coming up. It was a mixed day. To find out why, I checked in with Arlen Suderman of Stone X right near the end of trade. Arlen, a stab at a turnaround Tuesday across the board as the markets opened higher, corn, beans, and wheat all up and back and forth for the most part early on in corn and soybeans. In the end, though, wheat led the way, corn followed that market. Beans couldn't finish on a strong note, so let's start with the weak sister.
Yeah, when you look at beans, it's just difficult to find a story to sustain a rally, and that's one of the things that's had me concerned about whether we can hold those August lows that have been our harvest lows to this point. The January contract had tried to hold the October lows as we finished the day, but it was having trouble doing so. And I think that's going to be key to keeping us from following and perhaps testing those August lows in the days ahead. We are wrapping up the harvest. We're in the final 10% or so of the harvest now. So that should slow the number of beans being dumped onto the market. But Brazilian beans are seeing weaker basis and are now competitive with us in the November time slot for shipping to China. And that's got to be a concern for us as we go forward about being able to sustain demand as their crop prospects get better. Farmers are letting go of the rest of their old crop with the rains that are coming, promising a good new crop size coming up in a couple of months.
And as we look at a higher close in corn, but to a larger degree, the wheat market, was it really all about in both of those cases, low winter wheat ratings?
No, that was the big driver here. We did bounce December corn off the 50-day moving average today. That may have been nice and convenient. I think the real driver there was the lower wheat ratings. Condition index score for the winter wheat crop, the ratings that we got on Monday afternoon was 313. 500 would be a perfect crop. And that 313 was the second lowest on record with USDA's records for crop ratings going back to 1986. The lowest was 281 2 years ago. Fall ratings don't correlate well with final yields. Spring rains mean more than do fall rains. But at the same time, if you go into the winter with a low rating, it does increase your risks. And since we had been seeing prices fall of late, that does raise some concerns and was a reason for the market to bounce, particularly with the Black Sea still fighting some dryness as well. But the good news is we do have some rains in the forecast for many of those dry winter wheat areas, which should help.
Shifting over to corn and beans in particular, we've seen a litany really of daily flash sales announcements. How important is that to potential positive market movement on a daily basis?
I think it's critical. And we saw that slow down today, and therefore soybean struggled to sustain any type of strength. And had we not had to strengthen wheat, corn probably would have followed soybeans. We've seen some very strong corn demand of late with marketing year-to-date export sales of corn exceeding the seasonal pace needed to hit USDA's target now by 125 million bushels, largely due to aggressive buying by Mexico. On the other hand, soybeans, well, it's improved of late. Marketing year-to-date soybean sales fall short of the seasonal pace by 100 million bushels. And that's more concerning since we need to do the bulk of our soybean business between now and January because Brazil will soon capture the business as they begin to harvest in January.
Let's shift over to the protein sector. Cattle down, the hog market higher. Just a comment on that hog market, which tacked on a couple of dollars on the December contract.
Yeah, and that's a very positive move overall for that market. Obviously, as we gapped higher to new contract highs, we're seeing good, solid demand there. In fact, if you look at some of the cuts, we're looking at significantly lower supplies than what we would normally have at this time of year. And so we're seeing good domestic demand. We're seeing good export demand. And that is, and I guess I should add to that, we're seeing lower slaughter numbers as well than what we would have expected based on the last quarterly hogs and pigs report. So the market's starting to think that perhaps those USDA numbers were not accurate and that the supply simply isn't there. And we're firming the market as a result.
Arlen Suderman there at StoneX, StoneX.com. He's chief commodities economist. Settlements from Tuesday trade, 3 cents up on the Dease corn contract, 413.75. March goes to 427, a gain of 2.25. May 435, up almost 2 cents. Down 8.75, Novi beans, 965.25. January, down 7, 979. And almost a nickel off on the March, 993.5. December wheat up 11.75, 570.5. March 590.5, a gain of 11. Meat markets mixed. December live cattle down 132, 187.95. And December lean hogs jumps $2.20 going to 82.82. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.